I'm quite excited. Well, firstly, I'm going on mission. It's a weird time to start a sermon series, but today we're certainly just going to lay a foundation. And I believe it's something in this season that God might be speaking to us about, and that is faith. It's just faith. And you might think you've got a good idea of what faith is, but I think we're going to learn a lot. But it's not so much, and yes, there's a great thing for gaining knowledge, but gaining only knowledge, the word says knowledge puffs up. We can arrogant rock and we can venti rock. We can get all haughty. But humility is the key. So yes, let's gain knowledge about faith, but let's ask for an impartation. A place where the faith that we know and understand also hits our hearts and it becomes real in our life. I'm going to get into the definitions. Today we're going to just lay a foundation. It'll be a couple of sermons, I believe, where we're going to look at different aspects concerning faith in the Word, even different people, or even moves of God. And please, come and share your war stories or stuff that you've read. Come and share it with me. Email me. Your testimonies. Because that's a way of which we stir our faith. But I believe there's God needs to stretch our capacity as believers to be full of faith. And this last couple of months, you know, we first spoke about the heart, and just in depth about our hearts. And the heart is the vehicle in which our faith resides. So it's got a lot to do with what lingers in your heart. And Johan said it, where your heart is, there your treasure, and many a times there your faith will also be. So it's so important that we'll just get back. Lord, what are you building? We said, God's building. God, what are you busy with in my heart? And concerning faith, Lord, where are we standing? Yes, I believe in you. I believe in your Son. I believe the Word is the true living Word of God. Jesus made flesh. But there's so much, and there's so many other areas in our lives where God can touch on our faith. I don't know, who's the creatives in our church? Creatives. There's a creative. Demi's creative. Creative. Any other creative? Chris. Creative. And Johanna's a creative. There's a couple of creatives, but I don't want to steal anything from you guys, but some creative guy made a statement once, and it merely goes as this: the creative adult is the child that survived. The creative adult is the child that survived. Now you can forget it. Now you forget all about it. We just take the creative's line and we change it a bit. And I want to start off today by saying that the adult that is full of faith is many times the child that survived. The adult that is found full of faith is many times the child that survived. Guys, don't write it even down. It's not an exact science. It's just something to start the conversation with. Please don't break your head around it. Because I was a broken, almost adult of 22 years. Thought I was quite smart, but I was actually so, in my cuss, it's not even funny. Totally broken. And God came and he restored my childhood. And likewise, he restored that faith as well. So again, I say this, the slogan is, or this term is not an exact science, but I think it's food for thought. It's a place to begin. The adult that is full of faith is the child that survived. And God calls us back to a place where we can have faith as children. I just love how our two daughters, how they just play. How they just spend hours upon hours just running around and playing these make-believe games. And Jesus is introduced in the game, etc. The other day they were on the trampoline. And I'm like, Frida will just knock over Sophia, or then something will come and kill her. But then she goes to heaven. And then she's like, and then Frida will tell Sophia, dan is jy in die hemel, en dan sien jy vir Jesus, dan sien jy, oh Jesus. And then Sophia goes, oh Jesus. And then you run to Jesus and say, hi Jesus. And then Sophia would say, hi Jesus. And so they play this game, and then all of a sudden, Frida's like, this looks quite nice. And so something killed me and I went to heaven as well. And I got there and I say, hi Jesus. Long story short, praise God, they're not going to get killed or go home before their time. it's just the game. But it was so beautiful how childlike faith, they're just wandering up and they're just spending time with the Lord. Now, faith for me is a big part of just who I am in the Lord and what God has done since I got saved and baptized. And the thing is it's not something that will change our minds as much as it will just change who you are and your lifestyle. And again, it's not something that I think we can only grasp intellectually, as I said, but it's something that we need to eat and become part of who we are. And for that, I ask for a special anointing of the Lord. It needs to be an impartation of God. Yes, it comes through the word when it rhemas. We're going to do that, not today. Yes, it comes through a vision and a thing, but God needs to come and impart it. It's not something that I can give you. It's not something, if Edna really walks in faith, yes, it can rub down to a certain degree, but there's a place where I need to make that decision and where I need to receive from God personally. The quotes I actually had here, you can go to the background, faith background slide, the next one, thank you. A couple of guys that were full of faith said the following, please mind my back. Faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Have you ever been in a situation where you expect something from God that is beyond all expectation? You've been there a couple of times. And I've tasted the fruit of those destinies. But have you been in a place where you've expected of God that which is almost, humanly speaking, impossible? Have you? Yeah, you have. Praise the Lord. Not everybody likes that. We live in a culture where that is, where they think they do not like it. Let's not go down that road today. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Have you ever faced the wall? Have you ever faced the mountain? And by the grace of God and faith stirred up in your inside, have you been able to say to that mountain, it shall be done? Have you? Edna just reminded me of a very simple testimony. Well, it was quite profound then. I know somebody like Stephen, for certain reasons, will enjoy this one as well. But we were on our honeymoon, and a honeymoon is a special time, and you would like everything to go smooth sailing and go according to plan. Am I right? All of the excitement. sure. Did you guys enjoy your honeymoons? For those who, it's been okay, great. Thank you, Dirk. Thumbs up. Chris said this. You look at, yeah, joking. Chris said this is like it. But the thing is, you would like things to work out the way you had it planned. Long story short, my wife is, she's amazing and she's beautiful, but she's very sensitive as well. And anyway. I'm so glad on Sundays I've got the mic. The rest of the week she's got it. But she's got sensitive knees. We've been praying for them and we'll probably pray for them for a couple of months ahead. But God will just sort that out. Long story short, she was walking in a room and then just knocked her knee against a couch and then went down. Just a sak patat. Excuse me if you ever started to say. She just went down and she couldn't stand at all because she knocked her knee and it was just excruciatingly painful and she couldn't stand on her knee. And in that moment, you're thinking, I'm on honeymoon. This is not good. This is definitely not good for anything. Lord, please help. Please help. She was in tears. I was thinking, oh, I've just, yeah, I was thinking a lot of things. We just wasted so much money. But anyway, God is a good God. And in that moment, we just quieted down. She stopped tearing up and we just started to pray. And in prayer, God just clearly as daylight just dropped in my heart. It's just a picture I see. Please, I believe it's a biblical one, but don't go and try to mimic it. It was just the way in which God showed me. But it just was, as I was praying, it was just like this ball of fire that I saw in the spirit. And God just laid it on my place it on her knee. And I went like a child. I was sitting on my knees. She was lying down like a sack of potatoes. And I was just praying and I just saw this thing and God just says, well, place it on her knee. And I just literally took it in the spirit and just placed it on her knee. Poof. Healed. Totally sorted out. No operations, nothing. Budget intact, praise God. Plans intact, everything intact. But just in that simple moment, just having faith in the unseen, just trusting God, turning to Him, and He just giving me, just like I can explain it as a ball of fire, placing it on her knee and instantly healing her. Now, since then, I've prayed a couple of times for people, and I haven't always seen this result, but it will not hinder me of praying and believing and trusting that Isaiah 61 is true, that Jesus came to what? Heal the sick, raise the dead, bring liberty to the captives, good news to the poor. He's a redemptive God. He's a redemptive King, and our calling is to do and to walk in that redemptive power of His. Faith is for me many times like the petrol. Peter, yeah, my friend from Romersbury, if his life, if his Christian life is like a vehicle, he can have the bumper sticker, he can have the Facebook status updates, he can forward me all the, don't want to say, he can forward me a lot of emails of Christian mumbo jumbo. But the bottom line is if there's no faith, if there's no fuel in that car, it's not going to go anywhere. His spiritual vehicle will stand in the same place today as it will be in the next decade or 10 or 12 years from now. It will be in the exact same space. What he needs is just fuel. He needs faith to move with the Lord. And likewise, I believe we're in a stage where we just need to ask, Lord, am I filled up? Am I full of your fuel? Do I trust you? Now, what is faith? Maybe just before we go into the definitions, what do you, just your own description of faith. What is faith in a Christian context? What is faith? Yes, we're going to get there. That's a perfect answer. Amen. Hoping and seeing the unseen. I like that. Hoping for and seeing the unseen. Hoping for and seeing the unseen. It's very close to it. Guys, what's faith? It's walking with a blindfold. Yes. Amen. But I like that latter part. It's much like going to the UK. Well, that word in my mind was just so spot on. It was, it's, faith is like walking with a blindfold, but as Stephen said, but somebody told you that it's going to be fine. Trusting in Jesus. Amen. For a lot of things in a lot of places, a lot of areas in your life. Anything else? What's faith to you? To believe. Poof. Yes. To have patience. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Not if you're a doctor, but otherwise, as a Christian, yes, definitely. To have patience. It's a grappie. Anyway, anybody else on faith? Amen. It's to believe what your dad says. That's so true. Yes, it does. It just joins on with what Dirk said. Yes, definitely. Patience, guys, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it will be cultivated in your little spiritual garden by the Lord. Trust me, it will be cultivated. Some patience. But luckily, today's sermon is not about patience. Now, if I say we're going to do a series on faith, why? Why faith? Why is it important as His body, as His church, as His people, as His disciples? Why is it important that now and again we talk about faith? Why is it important? Before we even go into the definitions and the scripture, as Susan correctly said, why is it important that we look at faith? Amen. The bride needs to walk on water. Anything else, guys? Yes, moving on. The righteous shall live by faith. And today I've learned that it's three times in the Bible. The righteous shall live by faith. And what? We are the righteous. How do we become righteous, by the way? By faith. So the righteous shall live by faith. Yes. There's four reasons why I believe it's important that we need to talk about faith in this season. And then, second to that, I'm going to answer another question that is, guys, as a congregation, what are we aiming for? Say, for instance, we we do a 10-part series on faith. I so desperately don't want any of us to be at the exact same spiritual place when we end the 10-week cycle. So we need to say, before we start off, where are we heading? What are we aiming for? So why faith? One question. Second one is, what are we aiming for? God, what are you going to do? First thing, why do we need to talk about faith is, and Jenny touched on it, is salvation. Guys, our entrance into the kingdom is through faith. It's just the way God set it up. It is through faith that we get saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says the following, "For by grace you have been saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith, believing, trusting," all of those other stuff that you've just said. "And this is not your own doing." That is so important. If you've been in the Lord for 10, 12, 14, 18 years, God has moved you mightily. It's good to just now and again go back to the basics and just remind yourself, it was by grace that I was saved. I'm not this self-righteous, spiritual, giant guru now. No, no, no. It was by grace that especially I got saved. "And this is not by your own doing. It is the gift of God." This morning I had a person on my heart. She was in a situation I realized she really needed salvation. And I could pray over her. And in that moment, I could have judged. Or I could have, through my flesh, judged. But luckily, I was meditating on the scripture. And I realized that this person needs salvation as much as I needed salvation. And I could pray over her life. "God, save her by grace. Like you saved me by grace." Not whatever she's done. Whatever she's been busy with. No, it's got nothing to do with me. But by grace, save her. "Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." It's not on there, but Romans 10, 9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and," Johan said, "believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So firstly, why do Christians need to talk about faith? Salvation. Eternity. It's kind of a big deal. It might not be if you're here on earth and you've got your house, your work, and you've got your car, and you've got your kids, and you've got your pension, and everything's kind of sorted out, but this is a small speck in a much longer, much, much bigger story. This is a very small speck in a much bigger story. Second reason why I believe we need to talk about faith, and also what we are aiming for, is found in Acts. Mijolet said it this morning, and I love Acts 6, verse 8. "Stephen was found a man to be full of faith." Full of faith. Who would like to be full of faith? If anybody had to go home and I had to do your funeral, which, guys, this is not the season. Just don't have any plans whatsoever. It's not the season for that. It's a hypothetical story. Wouldn't it be awesome not to say, "Yesu kon 'n koeksister gemaak het. She could bake like you cannot believe. Bianca, cupcakes, divine. Ralph, man, that guy could contract you like a machine. He drafted like a freaking machine." No, not at all. But wouldn't it be awesome if for each and every single person in this church it could be said, "Man, he or she was full of faith." Full of faith. Man, I would love it. You could just write that. Leave the rest. Son of God, full of faith. Pin. That's it. Well, what do you think? You're not going before me? Anyway, just sorting out something. Household thing. God's going to come fetch me. Like, who was that guy? Oh, God. No. Enoch. I think I might be fetched, my love. Anyway, back to Stephen. I would love, full of faith. Amen. Going to be fetched. No dying here. Thank you very much. We're going to get fetched. Acts 6 verse 8. Let's get back to scripture. It's always safe. And then in Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Full of faith. May you be a Stephen, full of faith. May all of us be a Stephen full of faith. Acts 6 verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. I would love to be a guy that is full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Guys, why are we talking faith for this series? Because we want to be full of faith. We want to be full of faith. You know what? If Jenny gets to the chicken counter, or she gets to wherever she goes, people discern. You can either be a believer or a non-believer, but people discern if you're full of faith or not full of faith. If I'm going to share my Christianity with you, or I'm going to share a EPC with you, or I'm going to share a WhatsApp with you that's been sent to thousands of people, people discern. They smell if there's faith or not. If you actually believe what you're telling them. I've said it before that if I walk into a Toyota garage and Ralph tries to sell me a Toyota, which is not a hard thing to do at all, but if he sells me a Toyota and I walk out and then he gets into his BMW and go for lunch, I'd wonder, but why the heck are you not driving a Toyota? Likewise, people discern if we've got faith. If the Lord that you serve and this relationship that you tell them about, if it's real or not. Full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. We're still busy with the introduction. Don't worry, Chris. Third thing, why are we talking about faith? I believe faith is a thing that pleases God. It's something that pleases God. And guess what? This world is not, even if we're Western Christians and we're in a consumerist type of setup, and we get bombarded about me, myself, and I, and you are the consumer, you are the client, and you're always right, and all of that nonsense. It does not work like that in the kingdom. The king is the king. I'm his servant, but I'm also called his son. So in me, there's a burning passion to want to please him. Praise God, I don't have to do it through religious works. That we know, it's by faith in Christ. But there is a place that without faith we cannot please God. And Hebrews 11:6 says the following. I call this the relationship fuel. Faith is the relationship fuel for my relationship with God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Now, first and foremost, I believe and I know that all of you know and believe that God exists. Praise God, that's why you're here. But if you seek Him, if you come to church and you seek Him daily, every morning you seek Him, how to say, man, Lord, I would love just to please you. There's a reward in that. There's a reward in that because you'll see the kingdom come and His will be done. And lastly, four things. Why are we talking about faith? Firstly, salvation. Secondly, we said it's to be full of faith. Thirdly, we said it's the relationship fuel. We want to please our King. We want to please the God that we fell in love with, that we're serving and following. And last one is Jesus said in Luke 18, when I return, will I find faith? Guys, be honest, in a Christian context, faith in churches and your general place of gathering, and I'm not being judgmental, I do not think we've got too much faith going around. I think there's a great lack of faith within God's body, within God's bride, and His bigger church. If Jesus walks in the room, if Jesus returns tomorrow and walks into your home, will he find faith? If he comes and he walks into the Van Rijn household and he looks into their eyes, not judging, just longing to take them home, will he find faith? Will he find faith at the Skumat? Will he find faith? If he walks in here, will he find faith? Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's another story. We're not going to get into the details. But he then said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, this is the King James, shall he find faith on earth? People believe a lot. People believe a lot of stuff, but it's not based in truth. We're going to unpack that just now. There's a lot of belief out there. There's a lot of stuff. There's a whole different sermon series that we can just do on the narcissistic way of which Western culture is living at the moment. Just for my sister, and I like a nice selfie with my wife, so please don't hear my heart, but we're in a selfie generation where it's about me, myself, and how I look and about everything in my own life. It's not about loving God and loving my neighbor. It's about catching myself with a nice cappuccino. Or catching myself at the Big Ben on missions. That's what it's about. It's not the hungry beggar that walks by. We need to be careful. Let's get into the definitions quickly. Faith. The next slide, please. This is just a general definition. It's not even the biblical one, not the scripture that Sue referred to. Faith is a noun. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust. Just think, complete trust in someone or something. When you came and sat down on that chair, was there a moment of complete trust as you sat down? Did anybody... You're welcome to tell us, it's church. We can be open about this stuff. We can be real. But sometimes you get to a braai, it's nice people, but the chairs are not that nice, and first you just feel them out. Because it's really not that great if you go and sit down. Is this? Oh, never mind, let's not ask that question. Has it happened to us? Eh? A friend of ours. I remember a story somewhere. But there's complete trust in these amazing Sunningdale Primary chairs. And likewise, it's something that you put complete trust in. Some of us might have been in a situation where you look at your bank statement, you go into your internet banking, and you see that balance there, and a moment of complete trust just settles in your heart. Chat to him behind afterwards. Complete trust or confidence in someone. Trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance or dependence. I highlighted those. I like them. Reliance and dependence. Reliance and dependence. Those are words we can, keywords we can remember throughout the series. Complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Complete, just think, what's faith? Complete trust in someone or something. Reliance. I rely on that. Independence. Now there's a couple other stuff down there. Religion, church, sect. Like, not here. Denomination. Belief, code of belief, ideology, teaching, dogma, doctrine, etc. But you know, within our context, we're going to settle for the following. Complete trust and confidence in someone or something. And reliance or dependence. Now that's just a general definition, but let's go to scripture. The next one, faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Please go and read Hebrews 11 a couple of times. We're going to touch on parts of it. I don't know in its entirety how much we're going to delve into it. Probably a lot. But go and make it your own. Go and make Hebrews 11 your own again. Hebrews 11:1 says the following. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen or unseen. Faith is the substance. Let's just focus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Holman's translation, I quite like it, and it says, now faith is the reality. Faith is the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Has anybody ever been troubled by that verse? By any means? Troubled by? Cool. Anybody else? Did you just understand it, make it your own the first time you read that? Did it all just make sense to you? It didn't to me. So I believe it's good that we just break it down. Faith in God means we rely on Him and is dependent on His reliability. What is faith for you? Trusting God as a Father. Trusting God as a Father. Trusting His voice. Trusting His word. Trusting His fruit-bearing children. Faith is substance and proof, yet it's unseen. It's so contrary to what we teach, what we are taught, and what we learn in this world. In this world, what's the slogan? What does it say? Seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Show me the proof. In the flesh, everything is seeing is believing. The irony in the kingdom many times, believing you see. Well, I just first want to see if God is good. Now believe He is good and you'll see it. I first want to see if He can save my brother. Then I know He's the God of salvation. No, believe that He can save and you'll see the salvation of your brother. Provision. We aren't touched on it. Seeing is believing. No, Lord, if I have more than enough, I'll give. I'll give when I've got a million rand. No, but believe with your 10 rand. I'm not talking church here. I'm talking kingdom. Please, asterisks, hear my heart. I'm not talking church per se. I'm just talking Christian lifestyle. Trust Him with the 10 rand. Believe. And as you believe, you'll see. We've seen it many and many a times over, but it was a tough road. It's not like you grasp it out of thin air and it just happened. It is quite a tough road. But God will always draw you into that place where it becomes substance. Can anybody explain to me that substance? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anybody? Full of love, yes, absolutely. What is the substance? A reality in the flesh. Edna says it's when God shows us something, and it would be in love, if He shows us something, gives her a vision, or gives her a word, and she knows it's Him, something to hold on to, even though she's not seeing it. Now, I try to rack my brain around this one because you get it, and you get it in your spirit, you understand it, but yet when you need to regurgitate it or explain it, it's kind of a difficult one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So where are we going? We're going to the things that we hope for. Many times, and I like what she said, and she didn't go through my notes, but God gives us a handle. Climbing a mountain. You can go to the next slide, please. Yes, great. I'm climbing a mountain. I need to go to... My hope is to reach the top of this mountain. That is my hope. But I don't have any clue if I'm going to make it. In my flesh, I'm really not able to do it either. But God comes, and just to keep my hope embedded, just to give me something to hold on to, my hope is remembered to get it to the top of the mountain. He gives me faith. And that would be, just symbolically, it's a handle to grasp or to hold on to. I said that faith is the handle of our hope. Faith is the handle of our hope. Let's just put it very practically. Somebody suffering of cancer. Somebody that's very near and dear to you. And please guard your heart if you've been through stuff. Let's pray and talk about it afterwards. It's just a hypothetical, easy one. I believe, by the way, God is a healer. Then we can chat about the nuts and bolts of it, but He doesn't make sick to heal. He's not a schizophrenic God either. But so here's a person that a very near, dear friend or family member of you that is sick. And now you've got a hope. What is the hope? Hopefully, yeah, not that you'll inherit something. The hope is that they'll be healed. You understand? So the hope is healing. The hope is that Christ will touch their life physically, that they get healed. But to get to that place, you need what? Faith. You need to what? Trust and have confidence in God. Reliance upon God. And then we looked at the scripture. Scripture said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the substance. It's the reliance part. It's the weighty subject that you have to believe that they're going to get healed. But I need something to hold on to. I need that handle. What would it be? What would the handle be in this case? Where do we start out? Scripture. Each and every scripture of healing, each and every promise of healing is a handle. It's faith. It's substance that you can hold on to your hope of healing for your brother, sister, or mother. Or if God comes and He speaks into your heart and He says, I will deliver. You get a dream, God says, I will deliver such and such of this sickness. And you hold on to that handle. Jou hand gryp en jy gryp daai deel van die berge van die wat noem hulle klif. And you know that you'll be able to make it because God is showing your heart. Let's quickly use two testimonies. Simple testimony the other day, I went jogging. Went jogging in Darling where my mother stays, and ran around the town. Then there's a place where you head up a hill, and for me it's, for the runners here it might not be that steep. For me it was massive, it's like a mountain. Where you can run up there, and I've run all around, which felt like the whole dorpie to me. And now I see this massive hill, and I'm like, oh no. But in that moment, I realized that my flesh, just with my own ability of pushing through and running, I'll probably just stop and walk. But I realized that God is with me. And many times, this is a way where I can just get to know God even better. And in a moment, I just asked, Lord, are we going to run it or am I going to walk it? And God just said to me, Ken mai. And immediately, my reaction was, in Ken mai. And I knew I had to run up. I'm not going to walk up. You might not understand. The ladies in the house understand. But there was just this moment where I needed to get faith. Because I knew out of my flesh, I was so tired by that stage, there's no way in which I can do it. And I just looked to God within my heart and He said, well, you know me. Lord, am I going to run? Am I going to walk? He says, you know me. Immediately, power comes through faith. We're going to deal with that in the next couple of weeks. But in that moment, I got faith because God gave me a word. He spoke to me. I got a handle. But I had another handle. One that I didn't get in that moment. I had another faith handle. And that faith handle was, well, firstly, God is with me. But secondly, we stayed in Cape Town. And there's a road called Maltino Road. And it goes from Gardens Tennis Club all the way up to the last row of houses. At the foot of a mountain, Table Mountain. So it's quite a steep road. It looks like San Francisco. It's just insane. And when we lived in Cape Town, I would try to run up that thing many a times. But I took it in section by section. And God taught me this principle. I'm just leading you into my life. If it sounds like gibberish, think of lunch. But it might just hit home in the childlike way that God can lead you. And in that place, God then took me from running section by section. And He said to me, look up once and then don't look up again. If you're a runner, you might do it yourself. And so He taught me just to take it step by step. And guys, it is, for me personally, it is just insane how the difference in what it made. If I was just looking up at the top of the hill versus looking up once, knowing, getting my word from God, and then just running up and looking in front of me. There's a great big principle of Matthew 6 in there concerning finances. Don't look at the end of the month. Don't look at 60 years down the line. God says tomorrow. He said today. Today and tomorrow. That's it. I'll give you tomorrow. Enough for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the next step. So, coming back to Darling, this is a story within a story. There was one handle. God said, you know me. So I said, yes, I've got faith. You can empower me to run up this. And then there was another handle. I was reminded of what God had brought me through on running up Maltina. Very simple pictures. Very childlike pictures. But it's a way in which we walk in relationship with the Lord. And it might be like that today for running up a hill. But next time it might be moving continents. It might be next time for you getting another child. Don't want to look into anybody's. Might be getting another child. It might be next time that God says, quit your job. Again, not looking up. Move to another place. Do this, do that. I'm calling you out. So it is in the simple things of life that He teaches us faith. Then when the big things come, like He tells me, lay down what you have and go to the UK, not understanding, not knowing what exactly He wants to do that. Not having the full picture, I can have one glimpse in faith. It'll rain my word in my heart. I've got a handle. I've got a handle. And what is my hope then? My hope is that God will be faithful. God will come through. So obviously I ran up the hill. Next time, if He calls you out, if He calls you into faith, He'll give you a handle. And that handle is the handle of faith that you can hold on to in your hope. Faith is the handle of our hope. Faith is the handle of our hope. It's not a scripture. This is my own word, so please test it upon scripture. But faith is the handle of our hope. The first time I heard the Lord's voice, He said to me, Edna will be my wife. Now firstly, that is a very dangerous area in charismatic circles. So please hear, do not quote me again. I'm one of the guys that was quite lucky, but I've heard some other stories. I believe God is faithful. But in my case, it was as such. It was a handle for me that when she didn't want to go out with me because I was probably a bit rough and tough, at that stage of my life, I knew that God will sort me out. He will do it, and He will bring it to fruition. And it was such a blessing, and that was the road that we walked. So He gave me a handle. When we were out in Malmesbury, and we knew that we were going into full-time ministry, and God is calling us into ministry, but nothing was happening in the seen. It was all stuff that God has been speaking to us in the unseen. There was handles of faith that kept us hoping that God will open up the door and that we'll end up where we need to be. So guys, be on the lookout for those faith handles so that you can walk as the righteous ought to walk by faith. Quickly, the unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now in this world, evidence is seen. Evidence is seen. Am I right? Do you have the credentials to do the job? Yes, I do, sir. Show me your CV. I want to see it. No, but God has anointed me and called me for it. God has, what? Where's your CV? Sir, do you want to buy this product? Yes, I certainly most want to buy the product. Great, sir, do you have money? Yes, I do. Do you know my father? Sir, I would love to see the money. We live in a world that's, God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom, as I say. And many a times He calls us into a place of the unseen, yet the world will just like to see this stuff. Is this rocking anybody's boat? It's not meant to, but it might just do. Is this rocking anybody's boat? Guys, we're not here. We're not here to be lingered. We're not here to be yearned in or called in or to be lured in. That's actually the word I'm looking for. To be lured into the way of this world where everything is about the seen. We serve an unseen God. We serve a God that is spirit. And He said, well, you are spirit as well. So there's many places where we can change, where the God can change us. Just a quick testimony in the quickest form I can possibly give it to you. We had a deposit by God's grace and something I inherited from my father to buy a property. And so we wanted to buy here in Sunningdale, but we couldn't find anything. And it was for a year and 3 months where I would pray every week, every couple of days, would pray and ask God, God, where do you want us to buy? Where do you want us to stay? God, come. How should we do this? In other words, I look to my father. My faith is where? In God. My trust is where? In God. But God just kept on giving me the same line. It will come to you. Some of you know the testimony. It will come to you. He gave me what? A handle. So what was the handle of my hope? It was a rhema word in my heart. So I grabbed hold of that word and I kept on repeating it. But you know what? Every single day I asked for another word. Every single day I got what? Nothing. No other word. So please be reminded, if you're walking in faith, if you're trusting God for something, yes, sometimes He's gracious. But in this time, or this time around, He was gracious for not giving me another word. I had to keep on believing Him for a year and 3 months as we delved into those savings now and again as we needed extra, which is not a good thing, Oscar. God just said to me, He doesn't care about interest and capital and stuff. He might care to a lesser degree, but He cared about what was on my heart. And He said to me, are you going to believe me? Are you going to have faith? Are you going to listen to the market? Are you going to listen to what everybody in agents, etc. are saying? Are you going to believe me? And each time I'll ask him, he'll say, it will come to you. We were supposed to have given notice at the place in Melkbos. We were 2 weeks late already. We were looking for a place to buy. Everything was not within our price range, or it was minute small and not a good buy. And so either Edna was in tears or I was in tears. And Johan prayed with us, gave us some extra faith, and he just spoke life into our lives. One day we spoke to our accountability partners and went back to God every single day, and he kept on saying the same thing, gave me the same handle. It'll come to you. Went to Garden Cities, had a long chat. They said, no way, 6 months' time, etc., etc. And so I walked out there and I had no idea what to do, because now we had to be out of our place. We don't have a place to go to. God has given me this word. I don't understand what it means exactly, but I'm still a child of God. I needed to revert to a place where I sit, where I say, I know this chair and I trust this chair. Even though the agents and everybody else is screaming everything else at you, you need to revert to the place of confidence in Him, reliance in Him. And if He only gives you one handle, only one scripture, only one word, only one vision, you've tested it with your accountability partners, and you need to hold on to it. Then Johan went. 2 days after I went to Garden Cities, had exactly the same conversation, had exactly the same answer, had a conversation for about an hour with the lady, except for one little thing, and that was God's hand. She turned around, said something to him, and there was a waiting list of how many hundred people, but there was two houses that came up that morning after somebody pulled out of the investment, and he said, well, can I tell my friend? Long story short, he phoned me first. Now, I don't know how good you guys know him, Johan, but he's, I can't say plek op 'n mooi manier. He will first phone and say, well, I need to discuss something with you, very politely, but the zeal in him just took over, and then he said, no, ek gaan na jou toe kom. And that was the end of the conversation. That's so unlike him, Johan. It's usually time, schedule, and we've got a time where we're going to have coffee or breakfast or whatever. And it was so unlike him, so I was taken aback, and I thought, what the heck is going on? Wat het jy van julle aangevang? What is it that he's going to tell me? Next moment, he stops at my house, knocks on the door, and he walks in with plans, sketches of property plans of these two houses. He walks in and he places it down on the kitchen table. And God said what to me for a year and a half, a year and 3 months. He said, it will come to you. It's only you have to call. That was my one handle. And in that moment, that handle, the hope that I had, bear fruit. It's God's grace. It bear fruit in that moment. When Johan walked in, and I didn't understand it for a year and 3 months. It didn't make sense to anything in my cognitive mind. And everything I've studied, heard, or for my flesh, it just freaked everything out. But in that moment, toof, everything came together. It was a God moment, and I knew that was the place. But that's obviously where we're staying now. I had one hand. Be on the lookout for the handles that God gives you. It's a rhema word. It's sometimes just something out of His Spirit. We're ending off and just asking ourselves, guys, where does faith come from? Is it because I'm a pastor that I can believe? By the way, it's not about houses and cars and money, but God uses those things to teach us something about Him. Just by the way, it's what God leads you to do and where He wants to lead you. Where does faith come from? Just as a final thing for our foundation this week, we'll be moving on in the series in 3 weeks' time. But just quickly, as a foundation, where does faith come from?
Is it as you druk?
Yeah, that's not faith. Where does faith come from? It's born out of relationship with God. Yes, definitely. Let's look at scripture. We read it earlier, in fact, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace He saved you through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But faith is a gift of God. Romans 12:3 says the following: "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So that's a good cue to take. "But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Faith, and there's more scripture, but we don't have time for it this morning. Faith is given to us by the grace of God. Even greater so, I believe great faith is given by greater grace of God. I love Angus Buchan. What a legend. I'm thankful for him, for this nation. Really thankful for him, for this nation. He's got amazing faith. But it's a gift of the Holy Spirit by God's grace in his life. Guys, if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith as a mustard seed at this stage, don't be hard on yourself. But there's a place to say, "Lord, please, by your grace, come. Come, Lord. I want the full measure of faith that you've given me. Because I want to be like Stephen. I want to be full of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just about when I need to buy a house or not, when I need to go on mission or not. No, no, no. For all the small things, all the matters of life, I want to be filled and full of faith." Next time we'll have a look. How do we get faith? Firstly, we know it's from God and it's by grace from God. We're going to look in, how do I get faith? How do I grow? Would you like to grow in faith, anybody? I'll see the 7 of you guys next time. Now, all of us, obviously, I put out my faith. All of us want to grow in faith. We're going to look at how, and then, guess what? The nice thing, faith is from God. We've got help. We've got great help. Who's the great help of giving us faith? The Holy Spirit. Have you noted that both in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, and Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, faith is found in both. Both fruit and gift. We're going to look into that. The Holy Spirit is in all of us, and He will grant us the faith that we need. We're going to pray together. If you will stand with me, I'll appreciate it. As you stand, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, "It shall be done. It shall be done. It shall be done." Lord, thank you this morning, Lord. We just ask that you fill up our faith tanks, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there'll be relationship fuel in our Christianity. There'll be true faith, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we believe a lot of stuff and we trust a lot of stuff, and maybe a lot of that is not you. With all eyes closed, if you want to just repent of and just ask God to take the faith in other things away in your life, firstly, just raise your hand very simply, just in faith. Say, "Lord, when I put faith and trust in other things than you, in your ways and your word, come and just take that out of my life in Jesus' name." Father God, we just thank you for that. Thank you for all of these hands. Thank you, Lord, it's by your grace that we've been given faith, Lord. It's by your grace that you will bring this redemptive purpose in our lives, Lord. It's by grace. So we can just come. We repent, Lord, that we've looked to other things and other stuff, and that we've placed our faith and our confidence in other things. Forgive us and change us. Just forgive us and change us. Thank you. Thank you. Forgive us and change us. And then for today, for this season, and for this series, if you want to be a totally different person by the end of this season, just like totally different, and like Stephen, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to do a childlike thing. Raise both your hands. It's as simple as that. The word says that it's the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And He despises the wise of this world. But it is when we come to Him with childlike hearts in teachability and with humility, that He'll just flood us with faith in His Spirit. So we just come, God, as Your people, and we just say, Lord, have Your way. Flood us with faith in Your Spirit. Not to hoard it for ourselves, not to build little empires for ourselves, but to go live out Christ-like lives. To see Your Spirit and power move mightily in and amongst us, Lord, and out there as well. We honor You. And we say it's by Your grace that You will make us full of faith and full of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name. Have Your way. Your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will come in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you need prayer, afterwards, if you, like Edna's touched on, I believe that's just accurate for this time. If you've got a faith hurt, you've got a serious faith hurt, just come and, we might not have the answer, but just come and chat. Just bring it into the light. If there's a faith hurt, just bring it into the light and let's pray about that. Anything else that you would like to pray with, we're going to be in front. Otherwise, have some coffee and cake. I'll see you in 2 weeks' time, two and a bit weeks' time. Please pray for me. And just for God's will to be done, and may you be blessed. Enjoy the week. Cheers, guys.